Doctor Trumpet and Flugelhorn leading a band of musical geniuses with No Problem. That's the title of the song, a jazz standard that also features Tommy Flanagan on piano, Julius Watkins on French horn, Yusuf Latif on flute and horn, Seldon Powell on flute and sax, Joe Benjamin on bass, and Ed Shaughnessy on drums. This is from Terry's 1960 album, Color Changes. This is Lead Stories, and I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other yesterday. But today, I mean, we continue with our analysis. I don't need you to concentrate on reporting what is being reported. I'd like you to take us through the understanding that you're getting as you dig deeper behind whatever it is they're offering incessantly, but not bringing us any closer to definitive answers. So that's where we're going today. As you know, the aftermath of the so-called summit in Helsinki in Finland has just generated a ton of news stories, and we're getting a lot of opinions about things, but not necessarily much clarity. I mean, people are very knowledgeable, and you can tell that because they have all these people with all kinds of credentials on panels telling us all these things that anybody, any reasonable person could come to a conclusion about. But that's not what we do. And that's the first thing I said when we started looking at the story. We're looking for the anomalies here. And the anomalies that any common sense person would be able to raise these questions if they, you know, put their minds to it. So we are on good ground. We are in good shape in that respect because we are asking good questions, we're making good observations, and we are therefore, in some cases, ahead of the pack. 888-874-4888. Let's hear what you are thinking now that the story has fleshed out a bit more. There are more dimensions and angles to it and more issues that are coming out. But we're not interested in you reporting what has been reported. We're interested in you giving an analysis from your perspective as to what this story actually means. Where is it taking us? And what is it saying, most of all, about the two major figures involved, Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin? But they're not the only ones that we need to pay attention in this story. What are your thoughts today as things have unfolded a bit more light is being shed, but we still have an extraordinary advantage here in that we spotted the story already from day one. We spotted it. We talked about it. But now we need to go a little bit deeper as the story unfolds. So put us where we need to be with respect to the story, where it is now, but tell us what we ought to be expecting. What will be happening next? And what is the story that we're looking at? That's what we have to do. Just tell us what, in your view, is the story that we are looking at. Khalil from South Carolina starts us off today. Hello, Khalil.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm hanging in. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Okay, so what I see from that summit, well, number one, there was no need for a summit because it was about nothing. It was just an opportunity for Putin and Trump to meet alone together. That's the first thing in my mind, that's the first thing I saw, because the way I was taught in school, when you're a protester or you're trying to make your demand, you have to have demands. You just don't come to the table with nothing. And that's number one. But anyway, I see that our government, the American government, is in crisis now, because apparently the president has one agenda, and the Congress, some parts of the Congress have another, some parts. This is what I see, and I look at body language. I listen without looking at that meeting. I don't want to call it a summit. It was just a made-up whatever. It was just a dance. And when you look at it without the volume on, when you look at the body language, you can tell who's in charge and who is not. So, and I heard actually, and I had to agree with a caller yesterday. I forget his name, but yeah. So, you know, in other words, Trump is, he has no choice, I guess. Putin has something on Trump, blackmail money, whatever it is, some type of leverage. And he's aligning himself with Trump, even in foreign policy. Because to have a president for 2 hours, 2 hours of an American president's day, that's a life. That's like a month of work. I mean, if you ever look at a presidential schedule, and we have to remember that they have closed the logbooks on the White House. So we don't know who goes in and out. So that's just another layer of this. That's what I see. So now I feel like anything could happen now. I mean, the news is going to be breaking swiftly. This is breathtaking. This is absolutely breathtaking. And the kicker was when Trump actually agreed to even entertain the notion of trading a former diplomat. That's unheard of. That tells you there's a disillusion there. There's a meld, because diplomats are low key spies. Let's just face it. And but everybody acknowledges that. That's why they have immunity.
So in this confusion, with things falling apart as you see it, what is likely to be the reaction within the bureaucracy to Trump?
Well, the GOP, I believe, is inclined to stay in place because they're afraid of their base. And if you listen to their base, these are like gunned up type people. And they believe in this shift toward the Caucasian, the American evangelical Caucasian gun right type folks.
But their man has created for himself a very, very deep ditch. He has gone against, I mean, if you're talking about patriotism, he has gone against his trusted advisors and the CIA and his intelligence apparatus, in effect. He's done so publicly. He has done so publicly and in favor of America's historic enemy. This is not good.
No. And I'll be honest with you. I'm an avid listener to Washington Journal in the morning. And I find that it's an interesting pulse of America. And I would think that most of those folks are motivated to vote. They're older people mostly. But there will be trouble if Trump is forced to resign, or they believe what they want to believe now. And remember, Trump went into this thing like Goebbels. He started denouncing the press because he knew, as all of former New Yorkers know, there was so much dirt already out on him. He had no choice. But to denounce the press at the beginning. So now he has folks believing that you can't believe the intelligence agencies, which they are suspect at times. They have a checkered history. But, I mean, this is different. And, you know, in other words, he has these people trained not to believe anything but what he says. This is a cult now. And this is about the Great White Hope.
Well, so as I asked before, what is likely to happen on that front?
Okay.
This
what
president
is likely to happen?
As head of state, what is likely to happen in this regard?
I don't see this ending well. And I say this because the Supreme Court, I mean, all the courts now are packed with very Federalist Society type, very conservative judges, young ones on the lower courts. The Supreme Court is becoming packed. And whatever happens with this investigation is most likely going to be bounced to the Supreme Court. So I think the GOP is going to hang in there. Whoever they have, they're going to stay. They're going to stand with Trump, you know, and it's not going to be good. It's something else is going on. It's something bigger going on that we don't really know about. But there's a reason there's being this shift. There's a shift now.
Well, you got us started today with some very provocative ideas. Let's see how people react. Thanks a lot, Khalil, for your call today. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice.
Hello.
I hope you and the PRN audience are doing well today.
Thank you very much for those kind thoughts. Now, tell me what you're thinking about what has been revealed so far, but also what has not been revealed so far that you are hoping to see revealed.
Well, when I see things like when there's glaring contradictions, that's when my ears perk up and I start to see that there's something going on, and I start to ask questions to myself. And then why would the Russians, after we've been accusing them of doing things against us for the last 2 years now, why would they still be allowing us to use their spaceship to go up to the International Space Station? And if Russia's so bad and such a bad enemy of ours, why are they part of the International Space Station in the first place? So that shows me there's some glaring contradiction going on here, and it should be investigated, and I'm not understanding why it isn't. It seems to me that Donald Trump is between a rock and a hard place. Was he supposed to accuse Putin of lying to him about interfering in our election while he was there in Helsinki? Was that he thinks he was supposed to agree, because if he called him a liar, then everybody would be on Trump's case for starting World War III. And then if he goes along with what Putin says, then everybody's mad that he's against America. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. And why are we given so much information every day? We're flooded with information. These are kinds of things that make me question that this whole thing is set up by design, and they're just leading us down some road of destruction somewhere.
But now I want you to give us your answers that you have come up with. It doesn't matter whether people agree or disagree, but what is the answer to your own question?
My answer has been the same answer that it was for my very first call, that this whole thing is a setup. And Trump was telling us, even before the primary started, that the whole thing is rigged. And this whole thing is a big setup. And the rich, their sons and daughters, are all part of the press now. And we're being played by our own government and our own press against us to mislead us to something. And I can't even come up. And it's hard for me to say what exactly they're leading us to, but it's probably not anything good.
All right. Thank you for your contribution today. Let's go to Orlando. Tony, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. What is on your mind? What emerges for you from the whole mishmash that we have observed so far? What is emerging for you as a key story that is not being discussed?
Okay. The key story basically is that the military complex doesn't want peace on Earth. That's the that's what it all boils down to. President Trump, see, Obama continued the Bush doctrine, and one of the things that Trump did during his campaign was criticize George Bush in his efforts in Iraq. And when he did that, everybody, all the Republicans, they had a fit, because all through the Bush years, the left criticized Bush for the war. And that's how Obama pretty much came into power, as far, you know, with the whole closing of Gitmo and whatnot, even though he didn't do it. That was one of his things that he would promise that he did, which he didn't do. But
they're Trump, very, very good friends now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
But the thing is that
this move made by Donald Trump is what is it signaling to you?
It signals that he's up against, and I think he's going to continue to fight that battle, because I believe just recently he said that they were going to have another meeting, which defies what they want. Because he said they were going to have another meeting. But basically, what we witnessed, and there was a little hint from Putin on during the summit when he said that he wanted Trump to win. That was a jab at the deep state, because all we've heard was that, you know, that the Russians hacked the elections, and basically they gave the election to Trump. So by Putin, I mean, and you nailed it yesterday when you said Trump is no match intellectually when you compare him to Putin. Putin knows American politics inside and out. They know the media here. They know what we're discussing. They know the country's divided, and it's been divided by the deep state. And they know that. And that's why he said that he wanted Trump to win. That was a direct jab at the deep state in this country, and like I said, they're going to have another summit or whatnot, another meeting, and they might discuss further relations as far as solving the problem in Syria. There's a lot of problems that Russia and the United States can get together on and do a lot of good around the world.
You've been taking in hook, line, and sinker on this. Are you seeing or are you sensing the mounting opposition from Republicans to Trump?
Yes, and I believe, let me tell you, whenever there's an incumbent, and this is how we're going to find out, Matrice, in 2 years from now, there's going to be a presidential election. If the Republicans run a candidate against Trump, that's how you know that the deep state does not want this guy in there. Okay? That's how we're going to know. Okay? Because normally when there's an incumbent party, they do not run against their own candidate.
But didn't the deep state get him in? Isn't that the popular theory and explanation? The deep state got Trump in.
I don't believe that. I do not believe that the deep state got him in.
Okay. Well, you have raised some issues, and I'm sure in the next couple of hours, maybe, and even days, we'll learn more. We'll see more evidence and see how your theory fits in. Thanks so much for your call today. From Georgia, George, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to chime in on that same story there. Deep state. Remember what Charles Ortel said? He's talking about the uniparty. And right now it looks really that they all agree, you know, that they're all against Trump. What does Trump do? He's making peace with North Korea. He's making peace in Syria, in Russia, with the Russians. The deep state does not want that. Hillary wants that, of course. That's why I'm not so sure that the deep state wanted Trump in there. That's the people that voted. Remember, well, the election is still not over, right? I mean, people put Trump in because they voted for the lesser evil. So remember that. So the jury is still out on that. I would like for Dave in Brooklyn to chime in on the big picture, what's really going on.
But let me ask you, though, what is your visceral reaction to what has happened since Monday? What we are learning and the things that are still unfolding. Are you concerned that maybe Donald Trump is playing a game of his own?
I don't even think so. I don't even know if I think he's in a corner, and he had to talk to Putin privately because they don't want war, and the deep state wants war. They're surrounding Russia from every side forever since Gorbachev, since the handshake deal with Gorbachev was eliminated. That they want war, and Russia has no intention of having war, and. You just had Gary Null had just had Paul Craig Roberts on, and I don't know if you heard that. And they, of course, they can explain it better than I do. But this whole picture, all of a sudden, the reaction to Helsinki is they're all united against Trump. But that doesn't sound right. I mean, something is going on here. And
but you have to admit, though, you have to admit that Trump's actions. And his explanations, his words, are very, very troubling.
Well, he's not well spoken and stuff. But I think he has his intention is to have peace, and that's not that the deep state is not doesn't want that. We're living America's economy is based on war. And I think that a lot of people are realizing that now. That's why a lot of people voted for Trump. I mean, it would be nice if you had a candidate who's a little bit more diplomatic and all that. But right now, that's the best we got. Imagine if what's his name, the vice president, gets in, the whole thing is going to be turned around. Why are we in war with Russia? They haven't attacked anybody. They have saved Syria. Thank you very much. And Assad is winning and all that. Doesn't that tell you something? I mean, ISIS is defeated and Assad is making peace over there. Of course, that's not reported. That's not on the front lines anymore. Now it's this soap opera.
ISIS is not defeated. ISIS is not at all defeated.
They're in a corner and all that, and a lot of the rebels, I just heard today, he gives the rebels the choices to wherever they want to go. You know, I mean, who would do that? ISIS would kill everybody. You know, I mean, you got to listen to both sides. But what I would like to hear from Dave from Brooklyn is, again, the whole picture, the big picture. You know,
all right.
We're talking about symptoms here, you know, Helsinki, because I think he wanted to talk to Putin and say, well, what can we do here? Because they don't want war.
But you see, it is too neat and too easy an explanation for what went on Monday. There's a lot of stuff that went on Monday that is not part of the popular conversation.
Yeah.
Putin have something on Trump? What would make Donald Trump go against his own security people and take a position antithetical to what is broadly seen as U.S. interest? Why would make him
can I mention one other thing?
When we're
talking about interference, what are we talking about? Number one, the elections here are rigged. The computers are rigged. They can do whatever they want with these computers. It's proven on your program or on Gary's program. Now, what interference are we actually talking about? Did they change the numbers or what? What interference are we actually talking about? I have never, well, maybe I'm not informed enough, but what interference? What did they do? Did they change the numbers or what?
So all we know is that the community the intelligence community, as they call themselves, are satisfied that there was evidence that the Russians meddled in the election. How, they didn't quite say.
Yeah. That's the point. What did they actually do? Did they change the numbers? Are they the reason that Trump got in instead of Hillary? You know, I think it's a lot of BS. Because of course they made some propaganda against Hillary and all that. I mean, that's done everywhere. Plus, I mean, haven't we talked about these programs that America meddles in any election wherever they want? I mean, that's just besides the point. That's being done. But he has blown out of proportion. And what actually have the Russians done? That's what I would like to know. You know what I mean? Did they change from Hillary winning to Trump winning? I don't think so. You know what I mean? I mean, again, I'm talking about the big picture here. We're always arguing about these
things. I understand. You said it was kind of funny. Well, thank you, George, for your thoughts today. Thanks so much for contributing. Chicago is next with Henry.
Hey, Yatrice, how's it going?
Okay, how's about you?
Oh, it's okay. Haven't called in a while, so I wanted to chime in on this topic that you're discussing. I want to echo the sentiments of the last caller in regards to, because I look at this, twofold. First, the way the media is reporting this. I mean, there's been a lot of media coverage in regards to, you know, Trump and treason and, you know, the Russians meddling with, you know, U.S. elections. And basically, to me, I find this as a distraction. Basically, to me, I find that the media has been co-opted and bought out by the duopoly because of the fact that, you know, Republicans and Democrats have been changing elections domestically here for decades. When you talk about the Republicans striking voters off the roll, when you talk about the Democrats, you talk about the recent primary presidential election where they basically rammed Hillary Clinton down people's throats as their Democratic nominee. And also to internationally, how the intelligence community likes to change elections in other countries as well. So it's a distraction on that front. But, you know, the big thing is that, you know, I always see is, and I think a lot of people are asking, what did Trump and Putin talk about? Now, what I see is, I think I see that Trump was probably trying to have Putin side with him against China and North Korea. I feel like I think Trump went out to the Far East a couple of months ago, and I think those talks failed with him. So I think I see him trying to get Putin on his side, and I'm thinking that Putin basically told him to go to hell. So, I think it was also a failed summit because also too, you know, like you mentioned yesterday, as far as intellectually, Trump and Putin is no contest. I think he tried that with President Xi Jinping when he met with him, and I think that was no contest neither. And obviously he couldn't even, you know, he couldn't even get President Kim from North Korea to side with
exactly
him.
The same result. Having a rough time.
Yes. So I think the diplomatic.
But this is different, though. This is different in the sense that presidents would always come under heavy criticism for these kinds of diplomatic efforts, I think. But when you have, look at who is opposing him openly now. I mean, his own folks.
Mm-hmm.
The Republican Party that maintained a measured kind of criticism, you know, they had trouble with this or they had trouble with that with him, but they weren't this open about it. I mean, they're basically calling for his head.
Mm-hmm.
You have the intelligence community in full-scale revolt. And every aspect of the U.S. traditional security establishment is openly in revolt against Trump. This is not a usual reaction. I think you might agree with that. This is an extraordinary reaction to this president. And in the face of demanding that he step off this business of openly criticizing his allies, openly criticizing his own folks who have, you know, they tout with great pride the years that they have kept America safe, whatever it is we want to think about that. But this commander-in-chief is not behaving like a commander-in-chief. I saw a program just last night in which one of those experts raised a question openly. Are we seeing the early stages of dementia in Trump? Are we failing to understand that this is not normal behavior and he is unfit? I mean, they're saying these things out in the open now. He's unfit to be president, and he's psychologically off, and maybe, you know, we're seeing the early stages of dementia and Alzheimer's, all this kinds of stuff raised publicly now. So this is open revolt.
Yeah, I mean, either it is open stage, early open stage dementia for Trump, or he's trying to start another civil war in this country.
Well, either way, we have to figure out what gives us the motive to say these things. What are we seeing that people are not seeing? You know, we can't just say, well, you know, I said from the beginning, as you know, early on, I said there's something wrong with this president, and he needs to be tested. There's something wrong with him. I felt that from the very beginning. Now we're having these kinds of conversations in the open, and they're coming from within his own ranks. This is not good. Not good at all.
No,
thanks a lot for your call today. Clara from Philadelphia, what are your thoughts today?
For getting to me. Well, the last thing that was said on your end was that there's something wrong with Trump. Yeah, I think most people understand that. But the other part that most people don't understand is there's something wrong with this country. He's in there because of that and some related conditions. But as far as what he did, he and Putin did together in the closed room, it was really, I think, a dualistic kind of situation. It was not only were they dealing with the political aspects of the situation, but then there's that personal side. I think that what a lot of people here are saying is that he did not accomplish anything in our interests as a nation. But he has, I believe that they have a personal relationship based on some past business. But I have read some things, I don't know whether they are, you know, I don't know how credible they are, that there's a long-standing business relationship that borders on mafia dealings. I said very early, before he was elected, that I did not think that Donald Trump, the main reason if I were to vote, if I had been inclined to vote, I would have voted for him because I am not interested in being nuked. Clinton couldn't wait to get over there and start a war. Now, as far as he's concerned, I said he only wants to build hotels in China and Russia. He's a single-minded person. Business is the main thing. The reason he went over to Europe, I think, and berated them for not spending more on arms is because arms is such a big business here. It's all mostly related to that. And his behavior does indicate that there is something, quote, wrong with him, unquote. But it's in sync with a lot of other things. Why is he still there? There's something wrong, you know, weird that he's still there. See, he's behaving insanely in an insane situation. And whoever is mentoring him is doing a very good job. They know the minds of the people involved. Now, what probably will happen out of this? Unfortunately, he could be taken out by the big state or some crazy person in his cabinet. That will, I think, lead to a civil war. And it will be very, very hard, especially for people of color. In the big picture, I see Trump as performing a service for people of color. The big picture, so far as the world is concerned, because this country's reputation is in the garbage. In the meantime, the other side is making very steady progress toward another way of running things. I'm talking about Russia. I'm talking about China, India, that other side of the picture, where they're based in Shanghai, all of that, which I don't know much about, but I know something about. So big picture wise, I'm not unhappy.
Okay. You're not unhappy.
No, I'm not happy. I'm not unhappy. I see a way down. I see something in the distance.
It crossed my mind that this big bombast of Donald Trump. I think I know where he got it. And it's from Don King. That's my theory. Donald Trump, when he was in New York, it was Don King who showed people how to be truly bombastic. You know, you show up with a blank piece of paper with a signature on it, and on the basis of that, you get the rumble in the jungle fight. You know, really bombastic stuff that Don King used to do, and I think it impressed Donald Trump. But, of course, he can't do it the way Don King used to be able to do it, to really be bombastic. But he appreciated the role of being bombastic with getting people's attention, which in turn gave him a lot more clout than he deserved. Donald Trump got a lot of money from banks on the basis of his bombastic nature. He got a lot of deals, if you will, based on exposure in the media. All of that, I think, came from Don King. So you never know. David from Brooklyn, well, you're going to be answering George from Georgia's prayers.
Hello, Utrice. Good afternoon. I think there's some things that are important to say. And one thing that comes to my mind is that people here need to take into their heads that there's no way that the United States can go to war against Russia and win. And this is talking about two states that have large nuclear weapons that can go anywhere in the world, as well as China. And you can't win against them. And we can go around the world attacking small countries and beating up those countries at times. And sometimes we can't even finish, like it is in Afghanistan and Iraq and what was done in Libya with the murder of Colonel Gaddafi and the destruction of the country. But the point is that we have to look at the real goal of the people who are in charge of the country. The president, number one, does not work for the interests of the people, the masses of people, no matter who it is, whether it's Trump, Obama, Bush, or whatever. They work for the ruling class, and people have to get that into their head. Things are done in the interest of the ruling class. Now, the ruling class wants to make money. So the industrial base that is, involves war preparation, military equipment, that's a big thing in terms of making money for those who rule. So we have a situation where more than $1 trillion goes to the military industrial complex, the security apparatus, that is this various secret police organizations. That's what the CIA is. That's what the FBI is. That's what all the other security intelligence organizations are, secret police. And this money that goes from our taxes to support this over $1 trillion of funds every year, rather than going for the good of the people, the masses of people, we have to take that into mind. Now, Trump may say bombastic things and various other things that people are not used to, because most of the presidents don't say that. But they're all on the same page. They all work for the ruling class. And when you talk about doing peace in Europe and in various places, that's not good for those who are making fantastic funds from the taxes in these various areas like defense. So, I shouldn't even call it defense, because, you know, we have a defense department, but the real name of the department should be War Department. You know, you just have some nice war.
It used to be a War Department when they were very open and honest about what they do.
That's right. That's exactly what it was at one time. They ought to return the same name, you know, back to the War Department. And that's the way I feel about it. I'm not involved in all that. He said this and that and the other. That doesn't mean anything to me. The goal is the same.
So George from Georgia was asking, what, therefore, should be our interest in this tete-a-tete, closed-door meeting between Trump and Putin?
Well, the way I look at it, I don't worry about stuff like that. That's, you know, what he said to this group and that group and whatnot. The way I look at it, this is a way to get people's attention. And the ruling class, it's media. They own, 90-something% of the media and, television, radio, print media and whatnot. And they keep emphasizing what Trump said and so forth and so on. But the goal remains the same. And that's the way I look at it. The goal is to enrich the few at the expense of the many, and continue the same plan of neoliberalism, of doing what is necessary to make more profits for the few at the expense of the many.
Well, thank you. And George, there was your answer. Thanks for calling in, David. From Michigan, Leona, you're on the air. Oh, she got off the line. Well, look, we still have a duty, no matter what is reported, we have a duty to be highly skeptical about the information being shoveled at us. We don't know who to believe. In fact, my advice would be to believe nobody. but your own instincts and your own analysis. There's something dramatically wrong with the president. And I'm not saying this as a way of making fun of him or anything. I think he's not well. And I think that the building pressure, especially in recent months, you know, although he plays it off like he can handle everything, you see in his behavior, you see in his conduct, evidence of him cracking under pressure. And when you look at this meeting with Putin, you also see something that is not normally expressed in leaders. And that is Putin's unusually deep concern about the president personally. It came through to me. I looked at it, and Putin almost looks at Trump as a kind of, at least a brother kind of thing. But you can sense that somewhere in his head is the knowledge or concern that something is wrong with the president. And this makes the president extremely vulnerable to influence. Why is the president distancing himself from his own security people? Why is he distancing himself from the stalwarts of the Republican Party? Why is he even distancing himself from his vice president? Something is wrong. And I think it's about to be known sometime soon. It is about to be known what is wrong with President Trump. Because this is not the behavior. These are not the things that well-settled people do. I can understand, you know, people are mavericks and they have completely new ways of doing things. I just mentioned Don King. Nobody could ever have predicted that a guy with a murder rap, no less, would come out of the woodwork and be the world's leading boxing promoter. I mean, outrageous things, but successfully done. So I would say that, and Trump hung around with Don King for quite a while, and maybe some of that brazenness, you know, coupled with a lot of shadiness, rubbed off on him as well. But either way, the question now becomes, and it should always be in our minds, what about us? What is going to happen to us? And how do we cushion ourselves from the inevitable? It's going to happen. You have now a closing of the ranks. I just saw Madeleine Albright, and we're seeing stalwart Republicans, people from every political stripe, are coming up against him. He can't withstand this kind of pressure for too long. His ego can't take it. He is going to explode. He's going to cave in. He's going to collapse under what he sees as undeserved criticisms and public criticism. So he's going to be more and more erratic in his behavior, more and more unthinking. He's not even talking to his own cabinet. He sees enemies everywhere. It was in the press. It was in you know, the major media, then the minor media. You know, he sees enemies everywhere. The president is unraveling. And that ought to concern us. But in any event, we ought to be very clear about what we need to do to protect ourselves in the inevitable situation that the president, for one reason or the other, will be found unfit to do his job. And that's coming. That's not far away. Part of it is because I think there's a great deal of cowardice in the Republican Party. Nobody wanted to pull him to the side and say, listen, there are certain things you can't do. And he would probably make a good president, if you put it that way, if he utilizes the position that he now has, and he utilizes it wisely. But he's not inclined to be a wise guy. He's inclined to be a wise guy. Okay? He's not inclined to be measured. He's not inclined to embrace this opportunity as an opportunity to learn. He just does not believe he has anything to learn. He knows everything better than everybody. He doesn't need advice from anybody. And that's why the country is, the reputation, and who said it earlier today? I believe it was Khalil of South Carolina who said, the reputation is in the toilet. The country has become a laughingstock, and people are taking this very personally, people who devoted decades of their lives to this idea that they were serving the country. To see somebody come in and just, you know, trample over all of that and then go do things that are so ill-advised that it would cause you to wonder, what on earth impressed you so that you would actually go against the people trying to help you? Well, we will see how this works out, but if I had my druthers, I'd say that psychological counseling is in order for this president. It's long overdue. He needs to go someplace quiet, because don't forget, on top of the presidency, he has his business affairs, and they're not necessarily doing so well. So he needs to make as much use of this position that he has as President of the United States. He really needs to maximize it. And he can't talk what he needs to talk with people who have been walking straight and narrow. You need somebody with a little shade. because they will understand you better. And I think that's why the closed meeting with President Putin. We've come to the end of our program today. I thank you so much for your very spirited analyses and your contributions. This is why I love this program. Tomorrow we'll meet each other again, because it's what? Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye.